Good morning. I'm Pastor Drew. I got to know Pastor Paul about a year ago in a clergy group in Duluth, and it's been just a pleasure to get to know him, hear the wonderful things about what's happening up here at United Protestant. We had a couple things just in common starting off. First is when I was in East Lansing, Michigan, I served a multi-denominational church just like this. We only had four denominations. You guys went ahead and added the Disciples of Christ, but we had your other four in that congregation. So it was wonderful to have that connection with him. And then also this weekend, he headed off to Beaver Island to be the pastor there for the weekend. And my wife and I have got to do that a few times with our family, and it is a gorgeous, wonderful place. And so it's wonderful to be here with you, to worship with you here this morning. I, because I'm brand new, don't know anything. So what are the announcements that you need to make sure other people are aware of? Bible study on Wednesday. And it looks like if you're interested in being on the pastoral search committee, there are a couple numbers that you can contact, either Terry or Lynn. Then let's join together in a prayer of invitation. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp. How good is it to celebrate God's presence and sing praise throughout each day. How good is it to sing praise and give honor to our God. Our God rebuilds the people of the earth. The wandering ones are gathered together. The brokenhearted are healed. The hungry are fed. The prisoners are freed. The blind are given sight. And the lonely are befriended. How good is it to sing praise and give honor to our God. All of our nature sings aloud God's goodness. Clouds, rain, grass, creatures, great and small. Our God creates and sustains our world with his ever-growing, never-ending love. How great is it to sing praise and give honor to our God. Give grace and peace be in your abundance through the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm chapter 147, Psalm of Praise. Let us listen for a word from God. Praise the Lord. Because it is good to sing praise to our God, because it is a pleasure to make a beautiful praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, gathering up Israel's exiles. God heals the brokenhearted, bandages their wounds. God counts the stars by number, giving them each one a name. Our Lord is great and so strong. God's knowledge cannot be grasped. The Lord helps the poor and throws the wicked down on the dirt. Sing to the Lord with thanks. Sing praises to our God with a lyre. God covers the skies with clouds. God makes rain for the earth. God makes the mountains sprout green grass. God gives food to the animals, even to the baby ravens when they cry out. God doesn't prize the strength of a horse. God doesn't treasure the legs of a runner. No, God treasures the people who honor him, the people who wait for his faithful love. Worship the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion, because God secures the bars of your gates. God blesses the children you have there. God establishes their borders peacefully. God fills you with the very best wheat. God issues his command to earth. God's word speeds off fast. God spreads snow like it was wool. God scatters frost like it is ashes. God throws hail down like crumbs. Who can endure God's freezing cold? Then God issues his word and melts it all away. God makes his winds blow and the waters flow again. God proclaims his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. God hasn't done that with any other nation. Those nations have not acknowledged God's rule. Praise the Lord. Our second reading today comes from Mark chapter 1. We find Jesus here in the first chapter of Mark's account with some of his disciples beginning to travel around. And he has two separate encounters in the story. Again, let us listen for a word from God. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Early in the morning, while it was still dark out, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. In my 20-some years of ministry, and even before that, I have been involved with a lot of weeks of camp. Whether it's day camps like Vacation Bible School or overnight camps where kids would come in on Sunday and stay through Friday night or Saturday morning, or even adventure weeks where we'd get put in at the top of a river and for the next 6 days we were able to canoe and set up camp and go on these adventures. I sat down a few years ago and added in a few that I've done since, but I've spent over 80 weeks of my life at camps, coming close to 2 years at this point in time. That's nearly 2 weeks for every year I've been alive. That's almost 4% of my life that's been spent sleeping on uncomfortable beds and hot bunk houses on the ground, staying up too late, getting up too early, and eating some of the worst food in the world. Although, on the canoe trips that my mom would help run, on Thursday morning, we would wake up to on-the-fire, freshly fried donuts. I can tell you someday on how she made those happen. But while I might sound like a martyr, I've enjoyed these weeks. 2 summers in high school, I was the lifeguard at a camp. And then in college, I spent a summer going around to different camps all over the Midwest for Great Lakes Christian College, my alma mater, where we helped with camp and promoted the college, especially to high school students. And one of the things that if you've ever been at a camp like this, there is a rhythm to it. A week of camp is almost a microcosm of life. See, most residential camps start on a Sunday afternoon. And I can remember the weeks of camp, especially when I was in charge, of the nervous energy that was there. We had, for at least a year, been planning and scheduling and figuring out what we were going to teach on and how these camps were going to run and the games we were going to play. And then the students would start to arrive with all their nerves and excitements as they come in. Some coming hoping to see friends, others hoping to make new friends there. But they knew they had this 1 week. Now, Sunday night is spent just really getting to know each other. Even if you've known some of the other people for some time, there's something different knowing that for the next 5 or 6 days, these are basically the only people you will have contact with. And so you get to know them and get prepared for this next 5 days. And there is a schedule, a rigid schedule often that we gave out to the students, and it would often go like this. Mondays would start like this. You would wake up, you'd eat breakfast, have devotional time, because that was their high schoolers and they didn't really want to do anything before they got fed. Then we'd have recreation and chapel and then lunch and then swimming, then a snack and then rest time, my favorite part of the day. Dinner time, small group time, chapel again, canteen, social hour, campfire, and then they finally get to go to bed. And there was something that even though after many years of doing this, Mondays took forever They felt like the longest days of the year. But then Tuesday would start in the exact same schedule. Wake up, eat, devotional, chapel, blah, 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 blah. And as we go, you get to the end of Tuesday and you'd be like, "Where? What? That how you happened?" And then Wednesday would go just as fast, and Thursday would fly through, and then finally Friday would hit us all like a brick wall. Wasn't it just Monday yesterday? But when we got into these rhythms of doing life together and it became part of our rhythm, we just moved through it so seamlessly. But there are moments, though, that we would be taking out of our normal rhythm of our week. It's amazing what happens when our rhythms get interrupted. When a lightning storm would come in and completely change our schedule, where recreation go from being a big field game to having to come up with some game inside the dining hall after we moved all the tables and chairs off to the side. Or those moments when you're around the campfire and the kids want to stay longer to continue to talk about the things they've been discussing all day and in their small groups. And you know those moments where it just goes, bedtime just goes out the window. We all have this in our lives as well. We have these rhythms in our lives, these patterns that we follow. Maybe it's you wake up and you get your cup of coffee and sit down with your devotional and you begin your day like that. Or maybe as we head into the fall, maybe you have a special ritual for Saturday for your favorite college football team. Or I now know I live in Minnesota, so maybe on Sunday it's a rhythm that goes with your Vikings game. Or I heard there's a couple Green Bay Packers fans in here. And I'll admit it, I'm from Michigan, so I'm a Detroit Lions fan. And that rhythm usually was slight excitement at the beginning of the game and crying by the end. But not this year. But then I think of what we all experienced 4 years ago as well. How all of our rhythms of our life were interrupted in a few short weeks. COVID-19 came in and disrupted everything. I can remember that second week in March like it was yesterday. Our senior pastor at the church I was at the time was away visiting family. And we had chatted once on Monday about what was all happening in the world and some of the things that we were shifting around the church to try to deal and mitigate with this impending disaster that really was coming in. And I had preached the week before when she had left, and she was going to be coming home from this trip and then preach that Sunday. But while she was gone, she got a high fever and a terrible cough. And then when she got back to Michigan, she went to try to find a test. But these were the early days in March, and testing was few and really far between. And so she gave me the word on Thursday evening that she wasn't going to preach on Sunday because she didn't know if this was the virus or not. And so I began prepping my sermon for that week. As I was doing that, and I can remember sitting in the office with the buzz going around the church on Friday morning, though, we got the call that Michigan State University, which was directly across the street from our church, was closing down and sending all their students home for at least 2 weeks. And that we were going to shut down and not do in-person worship service. I'd gone in a couple days from not preaching that Sunday to preaching, which was okay. And then I went to preaching our first online service only that Sunday. I think back and reflect on that moment and think just how out of sorts we were that day. I'm sure many of you have similar stories from the pandemic as well. I don't want to overgeneralize, but I believe the pandemic took most of us out of our normal rhythms. It did for our kids, who went from in-person schooling to online schooling, literally in the blink of an eye. And it can be jarring to have these rhythms interrupted, and it can be very uncomfortable. And sometimes we're not quite sure what to do. And so when we come to this New Testament lesson today, Simon's mother-in-law has been taken out of her normal pattern. She's been laid up with a fever. When Jesus comes over to her house, he goes and he heals her fever, and she gets up and begins to wait on them. She is restored back to what she loved to do. There's times I've heard this passage and people have told me, well, it's a little sexist. Jesus heals her so she can wait on them? Well, I don't know about you, but I've talked to plenty of people who have gone through chemotherapy after a surgery or even getting a terminal diagnosis. And as they're dealing with it, how many times have they said they just want to go back to doing the normal things they were doing before? Most of the people I've met with aren't necessarily concerned about checking things off their bucket list. They just want to go back to those normal rhythms and patterns that filled their lives. Her fever had taken her out of her rhythm in life, but with Jesus' healing power, she is able to return to doing maybe what she loved. I often read this passage through the lens of my mother. My mother, who passed away this last January from cancer, but previous to that, on Thanksgiving, we had a meal with her. She had lost much of her strength at this point in time. And so it was my brother, my wife, and I's job to make Thanksgiving at her house. A turn of pace, because normally we weren't often allowed to cook in her house. She liked to cook for us. She didn't have much strength at that time. She couldn't really stand or spend help in the kitchen. But one thing I thought about, though, is if she had been healed in that moment, she would have jumped up and probably pushed my brother and my wife and I out of the way and began to finish up Thanksgiving dinner, because that's what she loved to do. There's those moments where we get pulled out of our normal rhythms and patterns, and it jars us. There's a word that we often use for this, and it's words that we use. It's called liminal space, a time in between. Limen is the Latin word that means threshold or passageway, such as a journey between an experience that we have known and loved and a reality that is not yet clear to us. These times of liminal space are often throughout the Bible. We have Sarah and Abraham as they set out on their journey from their familiar surroundings to go to a new homeland in Canaan of Galilee. I think of Ruth, the Moabite, who accompanies her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Judea, leaving something that she has known and heading into the unknown. I think the Hebrew people who meandered with uncertainty through after the Exodus from Egypt and then again after the Babylonian captivity. All who followed Jesus experience this liminal space of the unknowns as they watch Jesus go to the cross and then be laid in a tomb, and then as they wait 3 days to go back and find the rest of the story. A few years ago, Franz Reigert, the conference minister of the Wisconsin UCC, wrote this article, and he said this: COVID's full effect on the church remains unclear. We are no longer in the deep dark, but we certainly have not yet emerged from under the bridge. We hold in tension notions of returning and adapting and preserving what once was and imagining what will be. Living in a liminal space can be exhausting, yet energizing. To be sure, the uncertainty produces anxiety. Fortunately, some of the changes in life and work forced by the pandemic have resulted in new efficiencies and better self-care. He goes on to write, "My spiritual mantra lately has been 3 words, patience, prayer, and possibility. Patience because we trust God is doing a new thing that will fold on due time. Prayer because this centers us in God's love and grace rather than the endless worries and weariness. And possibilities because in Christ all things work together for good when we discern through the Spirit and stay rooted in the Word." Not only are churches still dealing with some of the impact of COVID and all that took place, but I know for you all, you're heading into this time of liminal space as well. A space where you will wonder what is next for you all in the coming years. A space where your beloved pastor of 16 years is concluding his ministry with you and heading off to share his gifts and experiences with others. a time of reflection and refocusing, a time with things that used to be clear are not as clear in these moments. This time in between can be both exhausting yet energizing. It can be challenging, but it can be full of chances. Chances to imagine what is next for United Protestant, what is next for your ministry here in Silver Bay and Lake County in Minnesota and our world. This allows for us to find new rhythms and patterns that work for you and where God is calling all of you next. But a liminal space can be disorienting at times, and that's okay. Much like a person coming out of a multiple-day illness, it's hard to regain your focus. But as you do, remember the three P's from Reverend Reigart. Talked about being patient with yourself and each other in the process. Bathe it all in prayer and hope in the possibilities that God has for you, this church, and the ministries. And for Jesus, prayer was the way that he often refocused himself and his ministries. Notice after he regains or gives Simon's mother-in-law her ability to continue to do what she loved back, we find Jesus going off in the early morning to retreat, to find a solitary place to pray. We see this pattern a lot in Jesus' ministry. He does a lot of healing and teaching and ministry, and then he slips away to a solitary place to pray. In fact, when he feeds the 5,000 out in the middle of the wilderness, the reason they're out in the wilderness is because he was trying to get away to a solitary place to pray, because his friend, colleague, cousin, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded. But it wasn't until after he fed the 5,000 that he got away to a solitary place and found rest and restoration. Jesus does this often. And he's found in the morning, the disciples call him back to the same people. And Jesus says, I must continue my mission. This rhythm that we have established, going into towns, preaching and healing and driving out demons, must continue to do that along this entire area. See, the point of the story isn't necessarily that we all need to run away to a solitary place to be renewed. Honestly, that works for some and not for others. But there is those moments and patterns in our ministry, how we care for the world, that does help us refocus, whatever that is for each one of us, and even as a church, can help us clear our head, hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, and live into the possibilities that God is giving us. There are times that we have fallen out of rhythm of what we have called to be live into. Whether it is a fever or people putting extra demands on our times, we have things that interrupt our rhythms. When our rhythms are disrupted, some of these disruptions can be good. They can take us to a place to get us back into the rhythms that are healthy for us. Maybe for some of us, we found good rhythms. We are in a groove, and somebody from outside, something from outside of our control begins to mess with our rhythm. For some, we know that God longs for Jesus to come to us and heal us from our fever and restore us back to our position. For some of us, maybe we've just completely lost the rhythm. We started playing a song in 4-4, and now it's in 3-4. Or maybe everyone's just clapping on the 1 and 3s. For us, we need to know that it's okay to move away from rhythms that have been hurting us and find the one that God has created us for. For some of us, and even maybe for this church, God can be moving you towards a new song, into a new way and a way of understanding the world. Maybe for you, it's through retirement or a job change, or maybe even the birth of a new child or grandchild, that things begin to change your rhythms. For us, we need to know that finding a new rhythms can be hard sometimes, But the new rhythms will bring new focus of what we've been called to do in this time and in this place. Maybe for some of us, we have found a rhythm that is hurting us. And we need a time in solitude to help us find a new rhythm. For those of us, we need to find a place, the event, the moment that will allow us to set aside the harmful rhythms and find a new beautiful song to sing. Some interruptions of our rhythm ought to jar us into something new. Some are obstacles to the rhythm that God has made us for. But Jesus, after his time of restoration, he had a renewed focus on his ministry. We have had these times before, haven't we? Times where we've experienced the breaking of our rhythms, our patterns, and our lives, and we've come into these liminal spaces. And so as you head through this liminal time in the next few weeks, I know as you wrap up celebrating Pastor Paul's ministry and work with you all, as you look forward to what is next, know that you are not the first church to go through this. You're not the first church to sit in these liminal spaces. Be patient. Bathe it in prayer and meditation. And remember to hope on all the possibilities that God has for each one of you and for this church. God has created each one of us and each church for a beautiful rhythm that is our own. And Jesus longs for us to find it. And the Holy Spirit will guide us to do it. And so as you enter this liminal time, may you be patient with the process and each other. May you bathe each other in the process and prayer. And finally, may you look for all the possibilities that God has for you, both now and into the future. Amen. My dear friends, you children of God, you co-heirs with Christ, you who are filled with the Holy Spirit during this time of liminal space, practice patience, prayer, and hope in all the possibilities that God has for you. Let us go in peace, my friends. Amen.